Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today, we have Minu Zhang as a guest. Minu is the Director of Asian Leadership Initiative at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Hello, Minu, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for spending time for this podcast.
Thank you for inviting me over here.
Yeah, I'm so excited about getting to know you. I know you already, but I'm really sure that the listeners out there would be very, very happy and excited to get to know you. So today is an episode one, and I want to know more about your personal story.
Sure.
So my first question for you is, how did you become a follower of Christ?
Okay, it's going to be a little long, but I really want to introduce myself really detail. So, yes, my conversion experience actually can be described in two parts. First part is a church boy as a church boy, and the second part is a Christian as a Christian. Although the core of the conversion experience is the gospel, my childhood was full of missing the point of the gospel, I guess. I always enjoyed listening to the stories of the Bible and attending church programs and events and learning ethical lessons, but when I look back, I actually realized that the gospel was not introduced to me clearly during my childhood. As a matter of fact, one would expect that I would have had more opportunity to learn the gospel given that I grew up as a pastor's kid, and I spent most of my childhood in the church building and associated mainly with all my church friends and ministers. Though that was the case, there was not a time when I was clearly introduced to the gospel. So my father was a senior pastor of the church, but he was always busy with the church work. So even though I was called church boy from everyone else in my church, since it was very typical that pastor's family lived right next to the church building back in those days when I was growing up in South Korea, no one actually checked on me for my salvation, and I was being just a good church boy. So I spent all my childhood, it seemed, in a church building. All my memories of that time were somehow connected to whatever that happened with the people at the church. Yet, sadly, the gospel was missing in my life, and I missed the whole point of Christianity. I even learned all the Christian doctrines and my worldview was shaped by, based on Christian values, but I was drifting farther away from the gospel. I built up my own self-righteousness by works and felt that I was a good Christian based upon how much I knew about God, the Bible, and how moral I lived, even though I should have had more of an opportunity to hear the gospel clearly in my childhood. My self-righteousness as a good rule keeper kept me from being thirsty for my own salvation through Jesus Christ as it got into my teenage years. So that is actually my first part of my conversion story. Like, I was grown up as a good church boy, but my conversion experience really happened when I attended the winter youth retreat. The message was about having a relationship with God. It was when that God invited me into this relationship. The guest speaker, actually, I remember, shared that through his life, he had struggled with many hardships and sufferings, and he introduced to us, the whole church youth, the gospel as the power of God that gives salvation to all. I began to realize that I was a sinner and I felt that I needed salvation for my own soul. So I was so convicted by the sacrificial love of God through His Son Jesus Christ, His dying for my sin and being raised from the dead in 3 days. I experienced the depth of the love of God and then what Jesus has done on the cross caught my eyes to see the perfect visualization of God's love. After this experience of being filled with the love of God, I started having a Bible study with my pastor. I wanted to know more specifically about the gospel and God's great plan for me in the Bible. Throughout those times of studying the Bible, actually focusing on the gospel with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I began to have a deeper confidence in my salvation. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is my Savior and the Lord, based upon Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10, that it was given by the grace of God, not by my works, based upon 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, that only by the blood of Jesus Christ I could be righteous before God, and that the purpose of my life is to glorify God with all my life by worshiping Him alone, based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. So after the Bible study, actually, the biggest change in my life was that I was now no longer trying to add up another good work to the righteous, but I was now doing the right things as the result of being made righteous by the grace of God.
Wow, that is a wonderful story. Thank you so much for sharing. And so what's God's calling in your life?
Well, with all my seminary education and the experience of the ministry at the church, God actually called me as an ordained pastor for the recovery of the worshiping life and the family worship, based upon Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. It became actually clear to me that all believers have the same calling and vision, which is to glorify God through a life of total worship. There can be many good core values for the ministry to develop the church, but worshiping God is the main overarching goal of Christian ministry to me. So discipleship can be done as a part of worshiping life by following Jesus Christ, since God has called us to glorify God with our whole life. So the first step to the Great Commission also should be focusing on our life to become missional. And worshiping life is one way to show non-believers who God is and how God loves us. So all the programs of the church should be able to prepare the church for succeeding in the worship in everyday life as one corporate expression of worship. Therefore, I dedicated my life to raising worshipers to recovering worship by following Jesus Christ in their life and by worshiping together as a church, corporate worship based on the sound doctrine.
Great. Well, Minu, tell us about your past ministry experiences.
Well, I would like to go a little detail about that. From the moment of my salvation, God led me to learn more about the Bible at Korean Baptist Theological University and Seminary in Korea. I've experienced a lot of personal revivals that time, and that actually changed my thinking and old habits, and I learned about and experienced God more. Studying the Word of God at the Korean Baptist Theological University and serving my home church as a volunteer leader for children's ministry actually prepared my heart to see how beautiful it was to work for the kingdom of God. And a little later in my junior year, I was called to be in ministry officially. So I led the worship and the praise team and then delivered the message of God for the children. After that, I joined the Korean army for 2 years as was mandatory for every Korean man, just like you. And I served at the chapel, actually, as a chaplain assistant back then. I was under the chain of command of Republic of Korean Army, but I was working with the U.S. Army chaplain in one of the U.S. Army camps in Korea, which helped me to open my eyes to different cultures, denominations, worship styles, and even different religions at that time. So there were all different kinds of services, such as Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Gospel, contemporary style worship, and then Protestant that shared the chapel building together. So, and I had to be there to support them. So I experienced all different kinds of worship there. And my part of work there was to not even just support, to just associate with all the members and leaders of that worship. So I actually earned this experience with working with all different kinds of people there. So that was a really great thing, and God graciously provided for me to get support from the U.S. Army Chaplaincy in allowing me to have a Bible study group for Korean soldiers even. So it was one of the great moments of my life that I was being used by God for His kingdom, reaching out to those who are lost in the army and with the unexpected support of a different culture. God's providential work did not stop there in the army. Actually, God used me to serve as an interpreter for the Korean pastors and the U.S. Army chaplains as they build up their mutual relationship for the kingdom's sake. One of the great events of both Korean pastors and U.S. Army chaplains working together was the one day National Day of Prayer meeting on the army camp. I actually interpreted all the prayers of each language to the other language as each side prayed together to one God in Christ's name. So after that prayer meeting, the command chaplain of the 8th Army, Colonel Boone at the time, he suggested me that to become a U.S. Army chaplain for me. So that was a really, really great thing, and that was how I dreamed and then planned to come to the United States and study for my MD at Southeastern, since obtaining master's degree at a certified seminary was one of their requirements to be an Army chaplain. So after my 2 years of my Army service, I simply obeyed the leading of God and then applied for the MD at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. As I began my studies at Southeastern, I started to serve one Korean church near the seminary, which is called RTP, Global Mission Church. And it was such a blessing and a great privilege to serve the church with various ministries and groups of the church. First, God put me in charge of the youth ministry with worship leading and preaching, counseling, and teaching for 2 years. During those years, I learned about the generational gap in between the older generation and the younger generation of the church. And at the same time of their cultural struggles that came from uncertainty of their identity as a second generation who were born in the United States but raised under first generation Korean parents. It is still an ongoing challenge for most of the international churches as the next generation has both cultural identities in them, so they feel that they don't belong anywhere and often leave the church. After 2 years of my serving at youth group, I had the chance to serve for the children's ministry and worship leading for the adult service. And I had to deal with much more serious gap among all different ministries and groups in the church. Each group had their own worship service, Bible study, and fellowship on Sunday. And each group was called by different names of ministry. They would listen to different messages every Sunday. Children would barely see how their parents worship God. The youth group had their own activities and events without learning about the church. So while many entertaining activities and events were planned and performed, Christian ministry was often forgotten. That was something that I realized. So it was around that time that I began to think deeply more about what kind of ministry can be pleasing to God. I mean, the more that I was involved in all different kinds of ministry at the church that were organized according to the age and the cultural differences, the more I was frustrated to see this generational, cultural, and even spiritual struggle deepen within the church. So with this question in mind, and then this struggle in me, actually, I finished my MD at Southeastern Seminary. And all of my seminary courses helped me tremendously to sharpen my understanding of the Bible and Christian doctrines, including what the church really is and how Christian ministry should work to make the church healthy and balanced. So I learned that it is significant to take the church seriously as one united body of Christ. So it should be the same confession of faith through baptism, the same fellowship through the Lord's table, and the same message for all generations and cultures, and the same worship as every single regenerated Christians is the part of the body in the church. So this should be the meaning of Christian ministry to me. So from that moment, actually, God helped me to work on different age groups of the church to see one another as one church. And part of the ministry of focusing on being united as one body of Christ, God convicted my heart that this only can be done by worshiping God together, beginning with each family having their worship at home and having more joint service of all generations on Sunday. So I began to realize that each family has the same generational and cultural difficulties, so it could be a great setting to begin with worshiping together as one family. So this motivated me to plan and start the family worship movement at my church for the families. In the meantime, it was not an easy process developing a bridge to connect the younger generation to the older generation in order to have the same worship service at home and at the church, since there were not only generational and cultural gap, but also a language barrier, which was the big obstacle when having one worship service in with different generations. It was not alone in this struggle, but came to realize that a lot of international church leaders are struggling as they see the churches segregated. So when I was praying about this difficulty in my church, God actually led me and some other Korean pastors and leaders to get together to share this struggle. We finally came to the point where we translated some good discipleship material into Korean language so that the churches can use it for having the same worship and small group strategy together in their churches. So a Korean translation group at Southeastern Seminary met regularly to pray together for this work, and we actually translated the discipleship book series A Call to Follow Christ by Cloud King into the Korean language so that the church could have an English-Korean version of book for both English-Korean speaking groups. Translating the Bible series was hard work at that time, but very much worth it so that the families could have the same message of God in both languages. More, they also could share this resource together with all generations and different cultures. So I have been promoting this movement in my church for past 3 years, and it was turned out to be a great step towards encouraging other Korean churches to have their worship and Bible study in both languages together. So in the second year actually of this movement and program, my church was chosen by North Carolina Baptist State Convention as a model church for this movement that connects the different generations and different cultures and different tongues to have the same worship and discipleship together. So that was a great experience actually.
Wow, yeah, thank you, that's awesome. So who is the biggest influence in your life?
Well, of course, it's my father. He's a great pastor of a local church in Korea. But not only that, he didn't limit his ability and his time to just to pastoring a local church, but he was leading the local church toward missionary church. And so he actually reached out to China, and he has been doing Chinese mission over 35 years so far, and that church now is very missional church now. So other than that, actually he's not only just a good pastor, but he's a great counselor and advisor for, and actually coach of my life. So yeah, he's the biggest influence in my life.
Good. My last question is, what are you most passionate about?
I am passionate about actually experiencing some new things, if that makes sense. I love to try new food, and I love to try to get to know new people and talk to new people. So I'm very passionate about knowing new culture and new people and everything that is new, pretty much. So, secondly that I'm the most passionate about is actually playing all different kinds of musical instruments. But not only just playing musical instruments, that is actually itself is fun, but I love to meet with other people and jamming together, so I can know better the person. I can actually see what the other person is trying to now do. So that is the most fun part. So I think, yeah, it's most passionate about is getting to know more people, new people.
Well, that's great. I love to jam with you sometime later.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, Minu, thank you so much for sharing your personal story. In the next episode, we will love to hear more about your current role at the Southeastern Seminary as the Director for Asian Leadership Initiative. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.